check my shit.
Come on now.
Check my shit.
Check my shit. All right.
Computer systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
I know, I know. Podcast. Listen, listen. Everything happened, okay? Everything. Everything happened to us. Times two, probably. I'm talking people dying. I can't even get into it. I mean, we will get into it with this podcast, but the last month, or like, I mean, maybe 60 days for our family.
The first 2 months of this year,
crazy.
The year could be over right now, and I wouldn't care. It feels like this was a full year, and it's only the end of February.
Holy smokes,
hey,
man!
Move closer to me for a second.
Want
I
want to
put my foot.
Oh,
up.
Jesus Christ!
I want you as a footrest.
Thought you
wanted
to give me a kiss or something.
No, my foot really hurts.
Okay. Go ahead. You feel better there, baby?
Thank you, baby.
This will last about 2 seconds before the dog figures out that we're physically touching each other.
He's got a brand new bone from Costco. He is digging it. Look at him. He's busy.
Last 18 years, my son has been my biggest cock block. And now, since we're sending him off to college, my dog will move in as the biggest cock block
the
in the house.
The dog does not like Pat touching me.
He's the old clam jam. He's like, not on my watch.
Motherfucker.
No, seriously, I know. Like, we've been so off our game. And the way it was really noticed, we had some really dear friends of ours roll through our area of southern Arizona, Tucson, from mid-Michigan, Flint, Michigan. People that we were very close with. And they listen to our podcast, we know. And as they rolled through and we had a little lunch with them, they go, yeah, we noticed you guys kind of like slowed down. I go,
no.
Oh, shit.
Trust me, we are painfully aware. We are not oblivious. We know.
I go, oh, man, our slip is showing here.
It is.
We got to work on that. So, yeah, listen, it's been there's been a lot of stuff going on. So we can just, you know, try to get back on track. I mean, I think we should rededicate ourselves to like trying to get a podcast out like once a week.
Totally. But it's just been bananas.
All right. Well, the last time you were here was a couple weeks ago. This is the 263rd episode of the Pat and AJ podcast that you just heard us recommit to our schedule. But I mean it. I'm going to get to a couple things. One more so in detail because I really think it. It's just a good tale that I think we all need to hear. But one of the other reasons why, I kid you not, AJ suffered a big loss in your Irish dance community. I think we may have. I don't know. I even know
we
if we
talk
about
it
last
it at
time.
All.
No,
and I because I was happy we didn't. But I'm okay talking about it.
I figured you were, but it's really a big part of, you know, what life comes at you, as they say, right?
Yeah.
And then you realize, holy smokes, all this stuff's happening around you. But AJ had a big figure in her life. You know, she's an Irish dancer. I think that's pretty well associated with our brand.
Yes.
If we had a brand, if anyone's willing to pay us $1 million to promote their brand, because there's jerk offs on YouTube now making millions of dollars for like promoting red pills.
Millions of dollars.
I will promote boner pills. Listen, if you need her to pretend like all she wants for me to do is bone her, because that's the new thing. Guys don't talk about dick pills. It's the women that talk about them. The women, they're the ones getting the brand deals, and they look into the camera.
Yeah,
and
we saw a commercial last night, and the chick's like,
I want this guy to have a harder dick.
Is your man slowing down?
I need that dick faster and harder. So I buy these pills, and there ain't no fucking woman buying them. There's a man buying them. But we do not have those kind of luxuries of all the big brand deals. But you do know that AJ is an Irish dance fanatic, and you've been involved with it since you were a little girl. You've taught it recently. You've been championing in your adult dance career, right?
I'm trying.
And this is because like any good artist, you usually work under some kind of an umbrella, right? And for dancers, it's often studios, and the studios are all individual because they're led by different owners, leaders, instructors. As you can imagine, there's probably, it's, you know what? It's like Cobra Kai. We all just got done watching Cobra Kai, that series about the dojo. There's different kind of dojos.
Yes, for Irish dance, absolutely.
Right. So this is a big part of what you do is the school you're at and the people that run it, and you suffered a huge loss. Your community And I mean that like kind of internationally, not like a local. You're the Irish dance world. Suffered a loss. And when I mean like AJ was close to the fire on it, she was fucking roasting a marshmallow. That's how close you were to this. But you lost a huge mentor.
Yeah, my teacher and my studio owner here in Tucson, who is, they always call him the prom king of Irish dance. He was
a charming fella.
He was a charming guy from England. His family has a huge history with, they have their own school over in England. He has like five brothers, I think maybe six, no, five yeah. brothers and sisters. Like only one of them wasn't a world champion.
I mean, this is like for those that know the UFC and all the MMA stuff, there's like the Gracie family. That's like 20 people who just whoop ass and like brilliant jiu-jitsu.
They're like the Kennedys of Irish dance.
Yeah, like this is this family and you were lucky. I mean, and this man, he was what? I mean, I think people most associate Irish dance with Lord of the Dance and River Dance.
He was in River Dance for 14 years.
So he was, I mean, top of the pops level of what he did for a living.
He was a certified teacher, a certified judge. Everybody knew him. I was intimidated by him when I got here just because I'm like, I've never worked under somebody with that kind of experience. And he turned out to be the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And we became pretty close over the last couple of years because he needed help running his studio. And I offered, and of course, I ended up helping way more than I thought I would.
AJ is a helper. I think we've all figured this out, especially people that have been lucky enough to manage her in professional situations. Oh, she's a helper. She will do, right? She needs a hole that needs to be plugged in. She straps on her little to-do belt and gets out to work to it. So
we were on like a daily text basis just for everything, for dance, for the studio, sometimes on a personal basis when I'd yell at him for doing stuff, you know. Like he was a great, great guy, great dancer, great teacher. Terrible business owner.
Yeah. Not everybody's
meant to own a small business.
You ever notice some people are just great rappers? Not everyone has to go get their own label.
Yeah.
Sometimes just be the guy on the stage.
He had this little team of people around him that kind of ran the studio, and I was part of that team.
Okay.
And, you know, I had just placed at Aroctus in the Western region.
Which
we
talked about as a huge deal, a big competition for you guys.
I placed 11th in the region, which is big for me and just in general. And he is that guy who believed in me from like the get-go. He said, and just in the last couple of years, he said, start studying for your teacher exam. I will help you.
So he was basically prepping you to move up in the world and do what he does.
And he said, I will help you however you need. He's like private lessons, whatever, but we'll get you certified. And I saw him at our Christmas party. I think it was December 8th. And he said he was leaving to go home to England for Christmas the next day.
That is the big holiday in England. Yeah. It is Christmas.
And he left. And within a month, he was dead.
Jesus.
He got sick, fell into a coma, and he died on January 11th.
You say he had a birthday in a coma.
He did. He turned 50 while he was in his coma. Yeah. So
he entered the hospital. And this is, you know, I can't say God bless America. I got to say God save the king.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was able to get health care because he had dual citizenship. So you're home on a holiday.
Yeah, he was an American citizen.
Yeah, so he had American citizenship, but he was native born out there. So he's home on a holiday, and, you know, it's just a different culture of healthcare where
there are some questions as to whether he got the care he needed in the UK over Christmas at that time. Like, if it was really a huge priority.
Yeah, but he ends up showing up and for something, and it quickly just keeps escalating. And before you know it, I mean, you were literally, AJ's, we just talked about this, because none of us, I think, know when our last conversations with anyone's going to be, really. Maybe in some situations. But for the most part, they just happen. And, like, you guys had a conversation. He was literally hanging outside a bar in London.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Bull, bull, bull.
He called me because I had made, we were wearing ugly sweaters to the Christmas party, and I made an ugly Christmas sweater with his face on it, and just for a laugh. I love to make people laugh. And he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I do remember leaving the Christmas party. I gave him a hug and I said, travel safe. Now, listen, he had a lot of problems on his own. He had his own life problems. And his health had not been great since like last summer. But we didn't know what was going on. So like we knew he wasn't feeling good most of the time.
Yeah.
But it just spiraled. And when I got in the car after the Christmas party, I remember just feeling weird. And I said, well, I'm glad I gave him a hug, but I just hope he's okay. But that wasn't the last conversation I had with him. I talked to him, like a week before Christmas? Because he called me outside a bar and said he wanted to have those shirts made for all of his friends.
He wanted more. Yeah. Like he basically said, I love these look. Cause again, AJ, you know, fucking cricket queen over here.
Love my cricket.
You know, she makes a shirt for everything now. If we're going to Costco on a Tuesday, it's like, oh, let me make a shirt for that.
Sure do.
Happy Tuesday. It's Cost Tuesday or some bullshit. So, you know, he's like, oh my goodness, those shirts are so great. Can you ship me over? Can you make a bunch more and send them out here?
For a pub crawl. Yeah.
Yeah, my friends out in England and would love it. It's a gas.
And I told him, I said, that's going to cost a lot of money to get him over there the week before Christmas. And he said, that's
my... Holy fuck! I didn't even think about that. Not only is it international shipping, and obviously he wants it fast.
He wanted right? it for the he pub crawl, yeah. Fast,
but it's fucking Christmas.
Just in case you wondered how much that costs.
How many shirts?
Ooh, I think what there was think? Five.
Five.
Five sweatshirts.
So, okay, so that's a little bulky, but
yeah, but right. I mean, they're just regular crew sweatshirts, nothing all too right. fancy.
Five sweatshirts
To send over to London.
Yes.
Within 3 days,
uh-huh.
cost $300.
$100 a day.
I was just more amazed that they could get it there man. That fast.
Imagine
to be honest, like $300 didn't shock me. Man. I just couldn't believe they got them there that fast.
That's how they motivated the old Pony Express. They paid you by the mile.
So that I
so that was your yeah your last guy. I mean, you sent him off. You well, said, he was, "Hey, I'm going to give you a confirmation tracking code."
And he was drunk, so we shot the shit for a few minutes. And it was just a great last. Conversation to have with him.
And then literally after that, it goes from, hey, this guy's in the hospital to, hey, this guy's advanced.
Well, the
and
first
then this
thing
guy,
we noticed I mean, with the pub, there were pictures from the pub crawl.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it. They were wearing a shirt.
So he
didn't
make
he didn't go.
Jeez.
And then I just heard that he went to a, you know, a football game yeah. with his son and said, I don't feel good. And he went to the hospital himself. And then that was it. He never
walk
up.
Out. That's crazy, man.
It's just been the most bizarre 2 months
so, I mean,
ever.
AJ's been not just dealing with that, but then by extension, notice how I said they all know each other. There's a dance school involved, and I don't know if anyone out here has ever worked at a small business when the person who purveys a small business dies out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's not a fun time.
It was chaos. So, it was just chaos.
Literally, AJ's been dealing with that. And that's, I think, a big reason probably why the podcasting, you know, just got squashed because she was dealing with her own. I mean, it was a lot of shit.
It was unexpected.
I mean, there was a lot of emotional, but then a lot of like business, which they often talk about the business side of death.
I think it was
life goes on.
It was more business than emotional, honestly.
And then here's the other part, which we didn't even talk about in the last podcast because it wasn't worth it yet. You know, it was kind of almost like we were filming the Rocky movie, right? And I can't show you, I can't tell you about the movie until we're done filming it. Life is not, and I know this sounds like a fucking movie quote, but I'm telling you, life is not about getting kicked in the nuts or the face and falling down, but it really is about our innate ability, our resiliency to be able to get back up.
And keep going.
And keep going, right? And again, like I said, you can package that any way you want. You probably heard it literally.
It applies to a million things.
So many things,
right?
Yeah. You know, oh, you're all going to get knocked out. How you get back up? So probably Rocky probably fucking said that. But, you know, as we've said, AJ's brand is Irish dance, and my brand has gone from buffoonery to mental.
As in our radio career was buffoonery?
Buffoonery. Listen,
I'm so glad it meant so much to you.
Jesus Christ. Listen, I did bits that were called Fat Girl Friday Night, okay? On a show that was named Cracker Radio. How the fuck would I exist in today's world?
Did you say roast beef vagina on the air one time? Yes.
I did.
What was that one bit we did that
SNL,
was so...
SNL just made that joke between Scarlett, ScarJo and Colin Jost, and I laughed because it made me think about something. I said something about a roast beef vagina.
What was that one stupid-ass bit we did in Flint? It was like
one?
To give away tickets.
To
but
Raw?
It,
that's when we had Eat Raw to get to Raw.
No, that was lacrosse.
Okay. Where are we going now?
Oh, I can't remember it.
We didn't do like, because after that, we got out of top 40, and like, there's not a lot of like goofy bits.
No, this was in Flint.
This was in Flint?
Yeah, and it was like a last minute bit that we came up with for tickets or something, and it was...
I don't remember.
I'll try to think of it by the end of the podcast.
Well, regardless...
It was buffoonery,
regardless,
right?
My brand went from buffoonery to mental health. And I... Because
the buffoonery affected his mental health.
Well, the world, my own neurochemistry affected my mental health, but it was just, you know, the buffoonery had a lifespan, I felt like, right? So, you know, I started down my path in 2018. And to be honest, it's because my mom died and we knew she was dying for 5 years. I was that guy like in his young 30s burying my mom, right? That's when that long stroll started. So my mom dies in 2018. That year, I have this lightning bolt of an idea in downtown Detroit, in the GM Towers, which I hear they're going to sell and rename something else.
So weird.
Biff's fucking casino or something.
They might as well.
But I have this idea of, hey, you know, I want to do more. What can I do? I think I want to be a therapist. And that's where it started. And I shit you not, within one calendar year, it's all worked out. I've got applications to grad school. I have a plan. I start doing my education with this big kind of it really was a 5-year plan. It was a 5-year plan of 2 years of school and internships, followed by me departing the broadcast world to do 3 years of what we call associate work before I can level up and become a whole therapist on my own. So a 5-year plan. Now, we all know what happens in
the... You were like half a therapist, then you were going to become a whole therapist.
Then a whole therapist. Yeah, right? You got to grow up a little bit. But we all know what happened in that little timeline that I'm giving you. The goddamn pandemic happened, and that was weird. And then we lost our jobs. We got laid off, and I was not planning on us being laid off until I was done with school. So that was another,
We were so hoping, just for once, we could quit out. A radio job on our own terms fired for budget cuts.
I was going to do it. I was going to literally get my shit done and go to my company and say, yo, this is where the Pat and AJ train ends, and I'd love to be able to help you guys transition to a new show. I was going to fucking help them. But then all that happened, and they said there's no more money because the world stopped turning. And so we left the broadcast world. So after that, we move out here, and it's like, all right, I got to do my next bit, which is being an associate therapist, which essentially means... we all know doctors, right? And there's a lot of levels before you get to a doctor. And you've probably once in your life had someone go, hello, we're going to have some students observing. Is that okay? And you either say yes or no. It's kind of like that, right? I basically have been functioning as a therapist for the last 3 years, but I am under supervision, right? Not just daily, where I have a supervisor that I go, hey, look at all my work from the day. But there were other hours of weekly meetings with other providers. And this is kind of what we do in order to be able to go out there and hang our own flag and say we're licensed by the state, right? We a lot of steps. And so the final step after all this is me taking a test. Now, raise your hand if you've ever had to take a state licensing exam for anything. And I feel like there's a decent...
There's a lot of them.
I mean, from like being a phlebotomist, just poking arms, to I know real estate, y'all got to take a crazy... Yeah. And we don't even... Let's not even get into the bar exam.
Yeah.
Right? People straight up get into depressions because of that damn bar exam. They move states to take the bar exam somewhere else. So the final part of my big plan that had all been working out was to take and pass this final clinical exam for myself. And I had done everything, few bumps in the road besides a pandemic, not worth getting into. But finally, in November of 2024, I was told, hey, guess what, Mr. Clark? You are cleared to take this exam.
It's time to be a full therapist.
They said, you pass this exam, and we're going to hand you a license that stays with you for the rest of your career as long as you keep it valid, right? And I go, wow. I immediately set my test date for January 4th, 2025, right? Give myself a solid 2 months. I say, I'm going to study. I'm going to do this test. And then I'm going to enter 2025 with this brand new license, and we're just going to go forward. And the day comes. I take my test. And I fail my test.
Oh.
That's right. I don't just fail the test. I know. Now you guys are going, oh, shit, you do it spectacularly? No.
No, you really didn't.
Because I'm a Bears fan. This is how the Bears do things. We like to always just lose.
Yeah.
I missed this sumbitch by 5 points. They give you a fucking readout. Like they give you a piece of paper that says, hey, bozo, you failed. And then it goes, you needed this many. You only got this many. And I go, fuck me, it's fine. And this is like, I mean, just to give you the scope of the test, it's a couple hundred questions. It's not like we're not talking like 50 questions or something.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And I'm sure every test is different. The bar is probably much bigger than that. And so I had to basically, I mean, I guess come home. I mean, it's the most.
He was so defeated.
It's the most tail between your legs moment. Because I had, you know, everyone was in on this, right? Like, my wife knew I was taking it. My son knew. Everyone's like, great. Dad's just going to keep knocking out.
My mom was here, remember?
Your mom was here. And, you know, it was like, oh, this guy who's been succeeding at all these steps, he's just going to keep succeeding.
Yeah.
And then I had to come home and be like, guess what? Right? I mean, it was literally for the Chicago Bears NFL fans. It was the double doink, you know? It was like the, you thought you fucking had it. Boom, boom. No, you don't. And, yeah, that sucked. And did I let myself beat the shit out of myself for probably a solid 48 hours? You betcha.
Understandable.
Beat the fuck out of myself. Did I regroup? Did I, you know, see my therapist that I see every 2 weeks anyways? Yeah. Did I sit there and immediately adapt, I suppose, my strategy for what I needed to do to be able to accomplish this? Yeah.
Well, and he even said, he's like, well, I failed it at such a small margin that I, because usually you have to wait, what, 3 months to take it again?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, when you fail, there is a timeout period, at least for my licensing world, of 90 days.
Yeah.
Where they say, hey, you can't take it for 90 days, which is kind of good because I feel like otherwise people might just start
keep going
every day, and that's not good for anyone.
And he said, but, you know, if you fail it in this small of a margin.
It was within 10 points.
So you can request to get rid of that in 90 days. And at first, you were like, well, no, I'm just going to wait. And I was like, well, hold on a second.
I mean, I did figure, I said, well, hold on. The 90-day cool-off period is obviously there for a reason. It's not there to punish people. It is legit like, you didn't study either correctly or the right material, or maybe you didn't study at all. We're going to give you the proper amount of time to regroup because, you know, hey, this is like everything else. I hate to say it. It costs to take that test.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The facilitators, who's a private fucking contractor, you got to pay them.
Yeah.
The state wants their money for you to apply for the license. So I also understand, too, they're like, they don't want people who maybe have access to unlimited funds to just throw it at it. But I ended up applying for this waiver, and they go, hey, you're right, pal. You're not only within 10 points, you are within 5 points. You can retake this test whenever you want. And after discussion with my wife, with my therapist, I decided to make it for about a week ago. So it was like mid-February. I said, all right, it gives me about I don't know.
They gave you a solid month, a little bit more than a month.
And in that month, I studied more. I studied differently.
You studied better, yeah.
I studied better. And, you know, you guys know where the Rocky story has to end. And not in part one, because that's when you lose. Just like Rocky, he loses in part one.
Yeah.
It's not till the sequel when you get to come back and go, Adrian!
So he called me as a Jedi!
I was able to pass this clinical test my second time around. That was a week ago. So according to my licensing board, I suppose I am what you may now call a fully licensed independent clinical therapist. But you know, it's, and by the way, I was able to increase my score
a lot
by about 18 points.
You did so much better.
Right. So you know, and it's just, I don't know if we get a lot of those moments cause you don't, there are times, unfortunately, when you get knocked down and you get back up, you get knocked down again. So I feel like whenever you have an opportunity to kind of celebrate them, big or small, that you should take that pause.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of told my son, you know, I said, look, son, because he's getting ready to wrap up high school and go to college. And I know he's going to have some dubs. He's going to have some L's.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to trip and fall along the way. And I wanted to be like, hey, man, you saw me do an attempt at this. You saw me fail.
Yeah.
You saw me get up. You saw me reassess. You saw me try to figure it out. And now you saw me come back and
kill it
and succeed. Yeah. Right. So let that be, you know, when you're at your low, when you're at the point when you fell and you skinned your knee and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, just remember, that this can be in front of you. And not always. I know it's not always going to work out, right? I'm saying this right now. And there's somebody, I know there's someone right now, motherfucking this me right back to my face in their car because they're like, nope, I'm telling you, sometimes it's just not meant to be.
Well, and that's kind of how I was looking at like my own dance career for a while, because it took me 3 years to recall at the regional competition. Recall basically means you placed in a certain amount.
Yeah, you win.
You win something. You win something. And it took, and each year I'm like, maybe there isn't going to be a win. Maybe there isn't going to be an end to, maybe it's just going to be, I lose every year.
You are the Chicago Bears, right? That's what it is. You're like, you
maybe
know what?
I'm just the Chicago Bears forever.
And fuck it. We're just going to double dunk this sumbitch till one day we sell the team.
And, but then it happened and it was amazing. But I also realized, see, that's the thing for me. Like, that's not the end of my journey. I'm like, well, this year could be different. Maybe I don't place this year.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, you came back and took this test and like, So explain, you don't have to take this test ever again. You just have to keep up with it.
Yeah. So basically now I have,
you're a therapist forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, what changes is I'm just under less,
supervision.
Like right now I kind of have my work, quote unquote, I guess you could say checked every day by my supervisor, and that will go away. But that goes away because I've proven myself to be competent in everything that I need to know to not be reviewed. So yeah, from this point on, here in the state of Arizona, at least I am licensed to open up my own shop, accept insurance payments, accept all types of payments, Bitcoin. I'll take that. Firstborns, you want to send them that way?
Basically,
that's cool.
This means you can make a little more money,
a little bit more dough,
which
and
you absolutely deserve. I mean,
it's a listen.
You'd be shocked. You would be shocked at how little money he made for these first 3 years.
For everyone who thinks, and this is probably true in a lot of, I think, the clinical provider kind of worlds, because there is a, you know, there has to be some kind of a ladder way up, right? Like we talked about the Pit last week on the podcast, the new Max show. It's
if you haven't started watching the Pit, my God, I promise you will binge it.
But you see on there it's a teaching hospital. So there's all these levels of students and who you are. So I understand that probably those students on the bottom can't be getting paid what Dr. Carter is.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right? Because it wouldn't work that way.
Dr. Carter.
Yeah. But you do hope one day that they get to level up and become Dr. Carter. So that's kind of where I am financially. But also, it just means that I have my license to do my thing. Obviously, there are requirements. They're called continuing education. I'm sure anyone out there in a licensed field knows that you maybe got to stay up with new things.
It's unlike your driver's license that you take once when you're 16 and then you're not checked on it at all. And all of a sudden you're 90 and driving into a wall.
Right, we need continuing education for seniors and driver's licenses.
I agree.
If I need to stay up on my shit, which by the way, I need to, because every day there's...
And I'm not even going to say just seniors. We all need to keep up on our driving. Nobody's driving is checked.
But pretty much as long as I do my continuing education and keep up current with whatever's happening, I have a ticket to ride, and it's that's even evolving too, because they're working on in my world, and I assume other licensed professionals as well, interstate compacts.
Good.
So you probably during the pandemic, I bet you a lot of folks out there saw a provider via telehealth for the first time, right? You opened up your phone or your laptop. And one of the things that we all figured out in that moment was you needed to be in the same state as your provider.
Yes.
Because guess who licensed them? The state of, let's just say, Michigan.
Yeah.
So if you're calling from Ohio,
you can't see somebody from Michigan.
Yeah. Like the state of Ohio says, well, we don't know who that fucking person is, and we're not going to, you know, like back them up. So there's this whole new thing going on where we're kind of coming up with like a universal license. So I think in the future, I may be able to expand what I do beyond Arizona.
Which is good, yeah.
Yeah, right now you have to be in Arizona. And especially for me, because I see a lot of clients, telehealth, I mean, all of them, and some of them are like traveling salesmen and stuff. And what do? They go to Nevada. They go to California. And then, you know, we're playing the whole game of, oh, sorry, I can't see you. Why? Because
you're in Nevada for the weekend.
Yeah, magically, for some reason, what I do and what we do evaporates. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what it means, but it's kind of just, it's the accumulation of... 5-6 years. I mean, what is it? 2025. So, I mean, I guess the whole thing started in 2018, and it's weird. I have people tell me, they're like, oh, you're an inspiration. I'm like, that's fucking strange. Cause I don't,
but take it.
I mean,
it's
I'll
true.
Take it. I don't feel like one. I just think I have a lot of, I just have a lot of, not quit. Like, I just don't quit. I you know, just try to push forward. So that's a big part too.
We're so proud of you, but that thank was you very also much. As I was going through my shit, he's going through, like, we were
holy
in
fuck.
We were in two separate rooms for pretty much the month of January.
We were apart from each other. No one wanted to be around each other.
He was studying in the other room. I was pouting in the other room. Like, it was just a shit show.
But hey, let's talk about ways to work or maybe study smarter and not harder. And I'm telling you, this is going to apply to you. And I don't think we have seen something like this. And not that I was even around for it, but this is how I was learned. When the modern calculator was introduced sometime in the 1900s. University and educated mathematicians, the Oppenheimers of the world, thought it would lead to the destruction and the end of mathematics as a field. And instead, we all know what happened. If you have a middle schooler, they probably have a requirement of some Texas Instrument calculator that allows them to do some kind of quantum physics computing. Dare I say mathematics, nor did the calculator kill anything.
No.
It actually made things harder, which is good. We challenge ourselves, right? We're not doing two plus two. We're literally doing really complex shit. So this is kind of the same thing I think we're seeing with AI. People are afraid. People have watched Terminator 2 since the 1990s, and they have been told that anything that kind of acts and looks human and talks like it is coming not only for your job, but for your life and for the planet, right? That's, I mean, it's easy sci-fi material. So the AI thing has come. And which, by the way, can I just point out, we've had AI in our life for like years. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys remember all those little sensors that started coming on your car about 15 years ago? And like, instead of you being crossing over lanes, the car beeps and then corrects you.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what, motherfucker? That's like AI technology. Now we're just in a different world with it, right? And people get afraid of it, but use that shit like I did with my studying. Notice I said I studied different the second time around. I said, what can I do differently? Obviously, what I did the first time didn't work, or I wasn't doing what I needed to do. So on a whim, I opened up my Google app, which had just given me an option to use its new AI program called Gemini. And I think ChatGPT is probably the biggest one that people know. Like, I feel like if you hear AI, you think ChatGPT.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, man, I've used both of them, and Gemini is where it's at.
I mean, yeah, but it's been kind of like how, like, Kleenex won the war with what tissues are, right? Everyone, I mean, Apple has their own Apple intelligence thing. Everyone's doing something, right? But so I said, let me try something here. And I open up this Gemini app, and I start talking to it. And I say, hey, magic app, I go, can you help me study for this exam? And it goes, absolutely, I can help you study with that. I go, okay, great, because I failed it, and here are some of the areas that I wasn't proficient enough in. And it goes, all right, let's go. And I kid you not, probably for every evening from that point on, which was about 3 weeks, I sat down and talked to an AI assistant who was my study buddy.
That's awesome.
And it was the best study buddy in the world because it was giving me relevant questions in the same format in, like, for what I do under different, you know, okay, you want to, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. It was, I mean, I felt like this, maybe this is where it is taking your job. You remember those old tutoring shacks?
Yes.
Like, they kind of got a little corporate for a while. They would hire like local honor students and pay them $5 an hour to go in there and, like, you know, tutor fifth graders. I felt like this was, I'm like, oh shit, this is normally something like you would have to find someone or pay someone to help you study or to be competent to be able to help you. And this magic little app, because all AI does, by the way, this is why it's not Terminator 2. It's sources.
Yeah.
It's not a magic brain.
It's sources from the internet.
Sources, right? So it's not going to wake up one day and go, I want to learn how to pass the social worker clinical exam. I have to ask it. And then it goes and sources all this information and goes, all right, here, this is how I can help you. And I go, motherfucker, this is it. This is what they've been promising us.
Yeah.
Right? And so it didn't, like, for me, it was, I mean, I thought it was pretty revolutionary. And Of course, AJ starts looking at me, and what did she say? She literally goes, well, yeah, but that would never, like, I'm doing an Irish dance test, and it would never be able to help with that. Yeah, what happened?
Well, we asked it some questions, and it said, of course I can help you study for the TCRG exam.
Yeah, there you go. What do you need to do? You want to do multiple choice? You want to just shoot me answers?
No, I think this is great. I'm excited. It doesn't help me with what I'm doing with the exam now. It will help me with the big exam. Yeah. I'm doing like the grades up to the exam, I think it will help.
It's going to be the next extension because it's kind of like I talk to, I have a couple mechanics I know, right? And the funny part about young mechanics now, guys who are coming up 20s, they can't fathom how guys did their job prior to YouTube.
Yeah.
Because they go, well, when I get caught, because all mechanics really, not all, but a big part of their job is chasing down a problem, right? So they're just eliminating things. But I've heard more mechanics these days, if they're in a certain age range, go, well, yeah, when you get stuck, you just go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's like, how the fuck did they do this job in the 80s?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is just going to be the next extension. Instead of the new young mechanic in 10 years pulling out a YouTube app, he will literally just open up whatever AI he wants and goes, beep, beep, you know.
Well, there's commercials for AI like that. And it might have been for Gemini. It was like literally a guy working under his own car. Yes. And he asked Gemini a question about it, and Gemini answered.
And I mean, so it was so cool. And I know, like I said, I feel like there's a little bit of a, you know, everyone's afraid. It's kind of, boy, it has to be like when you light a match around gremlins, right? They're just,
No, trust me. Be afraid of the real people. The real people are truly fucking us over.
Oh, yeah, no. People, yes. No.
Human
people.
Beings.
Be afraid of humans, right? This is making my life easier.
Yeah.
All right? That's what it did, was make my life easier. And I don't know. Maybe it can make your life easier. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like instead of being the person, and this is for all my mid-Michigan people, my Flint town folks, y'all know it's Vehicle City, and we all know that the real Flintstones know that it was also Carriage Town before that. And that's because Flint, Michigan made carriages for horses until that asshole down the road in Detroit made the fucking car. And I guarantee there had to be guys who were born in the 1800s and they've been making carriages for 25 years. And they said, you are out of your fucking mind if you think I'm ever going to go make one of those steel horses or work in that. What's that, a factory? Yeah, that guy didn't make it.
No.
Right?
Evolve.
But there was someone.
It's okay.
There was someone else. I think his name was Louis Chevrolet, and he goes, "Well, fuck this carriage.
Yeah,
I gotta make me one of those."
I was one of those people too, who was like, "I don't need AI." And guess what? I've used it. I can count on one hand how many times I've used it. But on that one hand, it's been so amazing.
I'm already laughing at, because I know what it is. It's when you had to create that logo, and I remember how that used to be such kind of a, hey, look, I have these skills to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, look at me, I can whip this up. And now it's like, hold on one second.
Yo, I want a logo that looks cool as shit about my donut shop. I want it to have sunglasses and like a couple rays of light in the back.
Trust me, I have really enjoyed my time with AI. It's been short, but I am starting to use it when I'm in a rut or when I'm in a hurry. And it's pretty great. Just try it. Trust me.
They're finally giving us what we want, folks, you know? And I guess
less work.
Rosie the robot, right? That's what I want. Rosie the robot.
Don't work harder, work smarter.
Damn right.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.